Please turn with me this morning to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16. Matthew, chapter 16. Sister Irene, it was so good to see you today. Lord bless you. I'm glad you could be here. We're going to start reading at verse 13 for our text, Matthew, chapter 16. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. We have talked about the church, as you know, the last few weeks, and today I want to talk about growth in the church. Now, growth is simply increase. I know you know that. It's an increase. Well, I'm talking about growth in the church. I'm talking about spiritual growth, because that's what God is talking about. It's not about numbers. It's not about numbers. In fact, I believe that a church grows more in small numbers than big numbers. Most of even the mega churches' growth of their spiritual individuals are done in small group studies. I have told you before, and I believe here, that Bible studies are even more important than the preaching service. I do. I believe that. Why? Because I believe that's where you grow. You get up close to God in His Word, you're going to grow. And what God does in that, He enlightens you and gives you His Spirit so you can have the capacity and have the desire of His Word and grow. In other words, God has born you again and you have life, okay? And so that's what the church is about. It's about growing in our relationship to God and one another. That's simply what the church is. And it's a platform that we can do that. It is not a prerequisite to go to heaven. But as we see from this scripture, it is to be taken seriously here in this context of the local church. That's what Jesus is talking to his disciples about. And so we need to understand that church is God's building. That church is a place to grow, and we need to be concerned about growing. And one thing about that happens is this: we're going to grow one way or the other. Now, if we don't grow and increase toward God, we can ingrow toward ourself. I have a toenail that ingrows sometime. It hurts. I have to deal with it. Sometimes I have to cut some of the nail away from the flesh. I know what's wrong, though. It's something that is becoming selfish and spiritual in our lives. We understand that the church, if we're going to grow, is a place that it's not about us. It's about God, it's about Jesus, of course, but it's about others. It's about having a platform to express our appreciation for God's saving grace. It's a place where we can participate in things like water baptism and communion. It's a place that we can rub shoulders, so to speak, with fellow believers and realize what a joy it is just to be together. And so I pray that God will bless us. As we look at this morning, I wanted to look at these verses right here from the context of certainly growth in the church. But one of the catalysts to growth is accountability. And here what Jesus does, he asks the disciples the one ultimate question. And that question is, who do you say that I am? And that is a question that every human being will answer one day and one way or the other. Who is Jesus? And the church is how we respond to that in that way, that we are willing to say that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And with accountability comes responsibility. See, if you're not going to be accountable to God, then it doesn't really matter how you live. That's why our world and the culture sense into such a mess. Anything's okay. There's no morals. Whatever you want to do is okay. And it's becoming like that in some churches. So what we have to understand is the church is a place where we are accountable. And that's what Jesus was pinning these disciples to the wall about. Because they had a problem with that. And I think we do too. Yeah, we think we're kind of religious and kind of be churchy, but I wonder, do we really believe that Christ is the Son of the living God? Because if we did, church would mean a lot more to us than it seems to. Church is not something you could just take a leave. I'm going to tell you, this world is a minefield. It will blow you to smithereens. And what the church does by the teaching of God's word, through the headship of Christ and his foundational doctrinal teachings, that we can negotiate in a sinful world and find safety and security. And we can grow. And this is a powerful, powerful context. But we ought to be accountable. And that's what Jesus is saying. Are you accountable? Who do you say that I am? And they said, you're Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, you didn't get that from people. You got that from God. And that's what the local church is. That's what the church is. The true church is a people that God is calling out of darkness, of sin and shame, sinners, if you will, that God is calling out of that condition to assemble together and gather and grow together. In all of which, Jesus was the example. I mean, Jesus went to church. He went to a place. He went to the temple. We see that in Luke 4. Jesus was baptized in a particular place at the River Jordan. He walked 60-something miles just to do it. Jesus participated in communion, the Lord's Supper. He was the Passover, but he did it. Well, why do we do that? Just to be religious? No, we do it to grow. I pray that you can look at your life spiritually and have you grown. I pray the Lord has helped me grow as a preacher. I really do. And that's what the local church gives us the platform to do, to grow. And here's the deal. I'm no better than anybody else in here as far as spiritually being. I just happen to be the preacher here. But see, you answer the question just like I do. Because every Sunday I have to stand here and I have to try to say, sometimes in words, that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And then I get that from God and nobody else. And I need to do something about it. See, church, the growing church is just like a marriage. I mean, Jesus in Ephesians 5, you know it, he calls it to marriage. He says, a man should love his wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And church is like Christ's bride, and he presented himself, a bride to himself, Christ says, by the cleansing of his word. See, Penny is my wife. We took some vows many years ago. I remember before we were married, going down to Upper Black Creek Church, standing in that little church and having a prayer with just she and I. I pray that God would help me make my marriage as much like heaven as I could make it. There's been a lot of places that hadn't looked like that, but that's what I wanted. I've asked some of you in this room that have done premarital counseling. I've taken the time on our last session, and I brought you in this church. And I set you in some pew, and I said, the two of you sit there, and I'm going to leave you. Because you need to sit in the context of a place that God has set apart from all this world. I tell you, that's what church is about. It's about growing. It's about being accountable. It's about being responsible. It's about living like the song Melanie sang, Lord, send me. I'm ready, God. I mean, you've done all this for me. Hey, I want you to see with me, the church is central. The church is the reason we are alive today. If your work and your job and your business is the center of your life, you need to regroup, my friends. You need to make God, the church, the center of your life. Because that's Jesus Christ. And I guarantee you, when you get God right, everything else will get right. I have noticed it. It goes without fail. People start missing churches. Oftentimes younger couples. And they will say, when I ask them, well, we're just having some problems in our marriage. You know why you have problems in your marriage? You don't have God where he needs to be. You need more God. You need more church. No. Don't go to church. Don't walk down this aisle and say, I want to be baptized or raise your hand or make some sort of pledge because some preacher says if you're not baptized, you're going to go to hell. Or because some of your friends say that's what you ought to do. Don't let some church preacher make you feel guilty if you hadn't been baptized so that you can be baptized. You do it because you're believing that Christ is the Son of the living God. That needs to be everything we do. That needs to be central. See, I mentioned Penny and I's wedding. See, we took the vows. But I don't have to go around every day saying, oh, Penny, you know I love you. I don't have to go up and hold her hand everywhere we go. I don't have to pull up a rank and say, you know we're married now. I do none of that. But I'll tell you this, and this applies to the church, everything I do in my life affects my wife. And everything my wife does affects me. And that's how the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is. See, you and I are accountable because Christ married us. We are His. And we can play tiptoe through the tulips with this world if we want to. But you'll answer that question one day, because the Bible says that we're all accountable to God. He's the creator. He created us in His image. Why? To glorify Him. Do you think God needs us? Nah. Don't ever think that. So if He created us to glorify Him, why would it not be right and even a given that He is calling people out of this world for the very purpose of assembling to glorify Him and to grow in grace? Because there's nothing any better to glorify God than growing, especially in our faith. We need to grow in faith. We do that in the Word. We do that by God's Spirit. Sure, we have our troubles and our crises, but the local church, people together, is what makes that so important. We need to understand the accountability that we have for one another. Forsake not the assembly of yourselves, as a matter of some is. And there are people listening to this message right now that can't come to church. And they are some of the most faithful people that the world's ever known. I know a lot of them. They love the church. And they would be here if they could. They are people in prison cells that are God's church. I have had church in my truck seat with a man talking about his problems and things of God. And I've had some pretty good church services by myself, just with God. I bet you have too. Just the Lord and I. But it's an encounter of growth. It's understanding that listen, Christ did this for me. I'll tell you what it's built on. Growth, accountability is based on conviction. Conviction comes from God. See? How do you feel about the church? I'll tell you what, man, my calling to preach, I know you don't need to hear all this. And by the way, I'm going to say this, I was thinking, you might not want to hear this, but I've been to this church this past July 10th, 20 years. But I feel like my ministry is just starting. I hate to tell you that. See, I bet you say, man, you know, that guy's been trying to preach this long. I'm about ready for somebody new. I want somebody young and fresh. I don't know where you'd find that in the Primitive Baptist Church, really, but you might find one. But I'm just here to tell you, everybody in this church, the older the people we get in this church, the more energy we ought to have to proclaim God. Why? Because we lived with Him that much longer. We've grown closer to Him. But that's what you're here for. By the way, God sovereignly chooses all the church, every member of His church, God chooses. He does. I remember when I was trying to preach, or didn't want to preach, never have wanted to preach. I remember, though, when I was struggling, I remember in forestry, I was in the woods. I wanted to get by myself. I didn't care if I see anybody all day. It made me happier. And I'd be up, I still remember, I'd be riding around somewhere in the outsides in the woods and the highways and byways, and I'd see a church somewhere. I didn't know what kind of church it was. Didn't matter. I started having these feelings in my heart for that church. I started seeing people sitting on porches, basically an older couple sitting in a rocking chair on a porch. I never had seen them in my life. I wanted to go talk to him. I don't know why. I don't know what I'd say. But when I look at that from God, and you've had those, and not necessarily that we all call to preach, but I'm going to tell you, this church, I don't know how many members we have. If it's 400, there ought to be 400 ministers. Because God has equipped you to that. That's what you're to grow for. That's where you're to grow up to. The statue of Christ. It's a building. Riley mentioned that. It's encouraging one another with our words. And how do we do that except in a local assembly? There's a man over at Bethany called me a year or so ago, called Kamala, said he wanted to talk to the preacher. So I go over there next few days. If I mention the man, you'd know his name. He was a successful businessman here. They say he has some dementia now. I don't know. He sent me down to his room. He said, look, he said, I want to know what the Primitive Baptists believe. I sat there and I sat with that man. I told him in a capsule the 5 points of Calvinism. He pushed back from the table. He said, look here, preacher, that's exactly what I want. That's exactly the way I believe. The other day, Penny and I went over there. And they were having, Donna Brigman was singing, you know, having the piano playing. And this man was out there. He saw me, he come over here and said, look here. He said, when can I join the Primitive Baptist Church? They say he's got dementia, you know. When can I join the Primitive Baptist Church? I said, well, any Sunday. He said, what about this Sunday? I mean, just because God is gracious, we do not have to be indifferent. You hear me? I sit around those ladies, most of them women, singing those hymns Donna was playing. They knew every word. Brother Raven, Sister Janelle was quoting every word. I was thinking to myself, them women, those women raised their children in the church. They might not know who their children are. They might not know where they are, but I guarantee you, ask them who Jesus Christ is, they will say he's the Son of the living God. You tried. I had a father-in-law. They said he had dementia. He thanked me for telling him where he was one time. But he never forgot who Jesus was. He could sing every verse of Amazing Grace by himself. It might be good if we all had a little more dementia. If we could forget a little more about this world and focus a little more on God. I tell you what, that's what the church would help us grow. Not only this. I'm talking about accountability. Secondly, we need to understand the church, growth. That's God's business. God gives the increase, but I'm guaranteeing you he expects it. He is a fruitful God. Jesus is the vine. He says, we're the branches. That's the church. He says, without me, you can do nothing. He said, if you're not bearing fruit, he said, I'm going to prune you. I'm going to take some things away that you bear more fruit. And we've got to be sure of this. If God's going to increase, and that means our increase, then we've got to decrease. But secondly is this. God is the architect. He is the author. Notice what Christ says here. He says, I will build my church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, Peter, the spokesman always for the disciples, he's the one that said, he spoke it speaks up. The church is not built on Peter. Doesn't matter what Catholicism says. It's not. It's built on Christ. In fact, that revelation... If you understand that Christ is the Son of the living God, you're just like Peter. You're Peters, just like me. We're all Peters. We're lively stones, see? Coming from that great rock, Christ. But God goes by the blueprint of His church. He builds His church out of sinners. That's all He's got to work with. He does. And here's the thing. See, we don't have to build them. We've got to maintain. We've got that Spirit. Because the Spirit's with us, we can maintain the church. But if we don't, if you want to fool around with God and be haphazard with church and you don't want to grow, I'm going to tell you what. You think that's going to mess the church up? Not God. He'll just build it somewhere else. Don't you see with me, this is the hope. The church of the living God will go on and on and on forever. Certainly. No matter how dark the world gets. I had the privilege the other day to take my 7-year-old granddaughter, Emery Grace, to Camp Hillview for music workshop. And so we left our house on Mud Road, and when we got to Upper Black Creek Church, I pointed Emery Grace and said, Emery Grace, you see that little building, that church? That is where your mama learned to walk. And that's true. I can think of you, and I appreciate you so much, you young parents in this church, you bringing your children to church. Bring them up right. That's what church is about. It's growing them. No, you can't control their destiny, but I'm going to tell you, you can expose them to the rightness of life and to Christ. And when God deals with their heart, they'll be right at home. I guarantee you. But God is sovereign. Notice this personal aspect. I will build my church. We need to be so careful that we realize this is God's church. It's not Randy Waters' church. A preacher does not build a church. If he attempts to, it will be a mess. Deacons do not build a church. They serve the church that Christ builds. See? And what a wonderful place, because we grow when we serve. We do. Lastly, time's going by so fast this morning, but I wanted to say this. Not only I want to see, when I'm talking about growth in the church, I'm talking about accountability. That's what it's about. That's what life is about. Accountability to God. Then also understand that God's the architect of it. He said, all that the Father give me shall come to me, and he that come to me, or she, shall not cast out. But lastly, I wanted to just note on this briefly, that the church, the growth of the church is manifest in her authority. Notice what God says here. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You know what he's saying? The church has the authority. What the church says, because the church, now that's a church that's based on God's word. And that's the only way you can grow. Truth. Okay? Has the right to judge and make decisions. See, a church has no right to say, for example, that it's okay for two men to marry or two women to marry. Some churches tried that. You see what happened. Well, what he's really alluding to here is church discipline. And we're not so good at that. I'm going to tell you what I read about John MacArthur. I have one of his books I was looking at the other day. He said, I think it's The Master Plan for the Church. I think it is. And you know he's a world-renowned preacher. But he said, I was appalled at this. He said one time in the church, He said there was a woman that called him, one of his church members, said, look, pastor, said, my husband left me for another woman. And he's gone to live with her. To which John MacArthur said, he said he found the woman's phone number and called it, and the man that come to live with her answered the phone. And John MacArthur said, you need to go back home. And you don't need to sin against God and your wife and the church that you are a part of. And he said, that man said, you know, you're right. I didn't really want to be here anyway. I was just tempted, and I didn't think anybody cared. He said that man the next Sunday came to him and embraced him. Now to me, I mean, coming for somebody that is so highly esteemed as John MacArthur, giving that as an example that actually happened. But we're afraid sometimes, well, I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. I know that I'm a sinner too, so I can't say nothing. What we need to be is obedient. And then God will do His work. That's what the church needs to be, because when we obey, God will give an increase. Let's have a prayer. Lord, we thank You for this day. We wish we had more time to talk about Your church than we do. But Lord, we have just enough time to live in Your kingdom as You would call us to do. Bless us, O God, to do that with more growth, more vigor, more intensity, a more willingness, Lord, to serve, a yearning, Lord, to know our mistakes, to take rebuke is a measure of love from You and Your people, because, Lord, You do work through people, and You do most of Your amazing grace work through the local church. Oh, Lord, thank You for the growth that we have through Christ, through the Holy Spirit, and because You've ordained it to be so. For the privilege we have in this local assembly, oh Lord, to see such immense spiritual gifts and men and women, some of whom have lost their spouses, some, Lord, who have dealt with physical handicaps, that love You, that still serve You so fervently, they don't realize what witnesses they are to all of us. I pray, O Lord, that we would be acceptable in Thy sight when You measure our stature today. Make us increase, O Lord, for Your glory, and thank You for the place You've given us to do it. Help us not to neglect so great an opportunity to express our love for You and one another than You have given us in Your local church, especially at the Statesboro Primitive Baptist dwelling. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.